Luke chapter 10 and verse number 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the labors are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth labors into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the labor is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of heaven is come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive not, go your ways out to the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida. And for if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which had been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shalt be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me. And he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this portion of scripture. And Lord, I pray, dear Lord, that you'd just bless this service, be a little bit different. I think a bit unique. But I think, Lord, that I have your heart and your leading. And so, Lord, thank you for this morning guiding me with your eye. And Lord, I pray that you would use this, Lord, to help stir us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. And I think I commented in both this morning's service and then when I was giving announcements about how I looked at the bulletin and the similarities between the bulletin that we have in front of us in November or October going into November and the type of bulletin and the things you would read in it during our missions emphasis month. And I was listening to Brother Silvera this morning, and he turned and read Matthew's account of what we read tonight. And I thought to myself, in Matthew chapter 9, how many missionaries have over the years come to our pulpit and said, turn to Matthew chapter number 9. It's kind of one of the classic missions portions of Scripture, a place that missionaries tend to go and challenge us and help us understand what God has done in their life and the calling that they received. He read these verses this morning, and Jesus went about all their cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And again, that same part of those sayings are found in Luke chapter number 10. While I'm listening to Brother Silvera, I thought to myself, it's interesting because about a month ago, the Lord brought me in my reading, Bible reading to Luke chapter 10. And I was going down through here and I stopped my Bible reading and I just sketched out an outline that I was going to file away and use on Missions Emphasis Month. And it just struck me in Luke chapter 10, if you're still there, Luke chapter 10, where in verse number 2, therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are, and look at that next word, F-E-W, few. And I titled the message, as far as just sketching the basic outline, I entitled the message, A Word to the Few, and I went ahead and outlined it, and then I stored it away and said, I'll finish that come February. Well, during the Sunday school hour, the Lord said, you know, it's not Missions Emphasis Month, but let's make it a Missions Emphasis Day. The Lord directed me back to that outline, and I would spend some time on it this afternoon, and hopefully what I have to say will help. this and stir our hearts in this matter of missions. Let's always keep a tender heart when it comes to missionaries, the missions efforts, and to giving to missions. And let's not lose our passion, not just to affect our Jerusalem, but to impact our Judea, our Samaria, and even into the uttermost parts of the world. So I want to bring this message, a word to the few. Here we have more of what Jesus said than is found in Matthew chapter number 9. He stops in chapter number 9 as far as Matthew, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, of course, had him record part of what was said before the 70 were sent out. But Jesus here in Luke chapter 10, we find, gave them more instruction after he presented the challenge to them. The population of the world when Jesus was commissioning these men was, think about this, the population of the entire world was 300 million people. Now, that doesn't seem like a whole lot to us because America's 370, 380 million people, just our country, but the entire population of the world was 300 million people. And here Jesus is preparing and sending 70 men to launch that first effort. You understand this is a first-time effort? Do you realize nothing had been done like this before? Where Jesus had trained 70 men, paired them up into twos, and this was the first time that Jesus had trained people to go out and spend time going to all the different cities and preaching the kingdom of God. And so these men were pioneers. I mean, 70 men, folks. When he said the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few, 300 million may not seem a lot to us compared to the billions that inhabit the world now. But if you think about this, to reach 300 million people, he prepared and sent just 70. Can I say it this way? Just a few. I mean, compared to the harvest, the laborers were few. I mean, what an understatement. 70 men trained to reach 300 million. And I just want to stop and say this. You know what? I wish I could have been there. I don't know who all of these 70 men were because their names are not recorded, but I want to go and shake their hands. And I want to say, tell me the story. What was it like to be the first? You know, very few people want to be the first in any brand new thing. And you know what? I can't say what is God's will and what isn't for everybody's life. I think some people are kind of wired where, you know what, when a brand new opportunity, a challenge, and a pioneer effort is launched, you know what? Their natural inclination is, I want to be a part of that. Other people say, well, I want to watch it and see. And then I want to see how it goes. And then maybe at some point I'll join in. And by the way, again, we need the first wave, and we need the second wave, and we need the third wave. But I know my personality, and I've always been the first wave guy. I mean, yeah, but don't you make a lot of mistakes? Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they didn't get everything right either. But you know what? They were blazing a new trail. It had never been tried before. And you know what? Jesus gave them a certain amount of instruction to turn around and said, go. And can you imagine as they're walking, the nervousness? Can you imagine as they're going from city to city, how we're going to be received? This has never been done. They couldn't read Paul's epistles and learn from how to be a missionary. They couldn't read the book of Acts and find out how the first church did it. These were the first wave Christians. And you know what? These 70 men, God bless them. I mean that. God bless them. Somebody had to start it. Somebody had to be the first. Somebody had to do it. Can I say it? Somebody had to jump in. I want to share this story with you. I've been saving this illustration, but we were on our fishing retreat, our fishing trip. Man, I'm going to tell you something. There's no place on the planet more dangerous. You can read all those missionary letters you want to about all this, but there's nothing, no place on the planet more dangerous than being on a boat with a bunch of Baptists, all of them casting fishing lines at the same time. I'm telling you what, I finally had to stop at some point and say, okay, listen, folks, you have to look behind you, okay, before you take that lure and flip it. And we had fishing poles that were laying in the boat. People going back, catching them and throwing them into the water. I had a lure come across my face and get yanked. And to this day, I mean, my guardian angel must have had a heart attack. He's fast because I didn't have a scratch on me. But when you have a fishing lure slap you in the face and get pulled across you and you don't get caught, that's a good day. That's a really good day. We had one of the boats, a guy had to perform surgery because one of the hooks got into the back of the arm of the guy beside him. And yeah, I mean, deep. I mean, you know, a hook with the barb on it. I mean, a hook. And so, yeah, it was some crazy things going on. Brother Dively had a hat, and it was his favorite hat. And hats are replaceable, but he had some pins that was on that hat that was unique to him and had been given to him. One of those pins on that hat had been given to him by his son, who's now passed away and now in heaven. And so one of our guys went back, got his hat, flipped it into the water. I mean, it went right into the water. We're about in 6-7 feet worth of water, and he's, you can tell, you know, I wasn't worried about the hat till I kind of realized that this hat had more significance than most hats would. And he said, well, there's something on there I couldn't replace. And he didn't even tell us what at that point. And I said, well, let's see if we can find it. Oh, don't worry about it. No, let's see if we can find it. We kept, taking a trolley motor. And every once in a while, it was a green hat, kind of a bright green hat. And we could see it on the bottom there. And we'd get near and pass it. And everybody's trying to get poles in the water and hook it and trying to get it. And then we'd lose it. We couldn't find it again. We'd come back around. And Donald is in the boat with us. And Donald, after we passed by it about three times, he kind of whispered to me and said, I'm going to get that hat. And I said, what are you going to do? And he said, I'm going to get that hat. And I thought he meant with the net or the pole. I didn't see he kicked his shoes off. Next time we went by, I saw the hat. And next thing I know, I heard splash. And Donald jumps in the water, goes down, comes back up with this hat, Brother Dively's hat. And I was so shocked, I thought to myself, well, you know, I'm responsible for these young people. You know, we talked their parents into letting him come, and then, he's jumping in a lake, you know, to get the hat. And he came out of the water with the hat, and we pulled him back into the boat. And at first, I was almost about half mad at him for doing it. But then the Lord's like, you would have done that at that age. And you know what? I would have done that. The only reason you didn't really get chewed out was the Holy Spirit was saying, that was a total 15-year-old Jerry Ross move if there ever was one. So you've got nothing to say to that boy because you would have jumped in and got that hat. Now you're too old and scared. But back then, you would have jumped in. Now, let me just look up here and say, not everybody's wired that way, and it's okay. But you know what? We need Christians wired that way. We need some people that say, we're going to do what next? We need those 70 men that walked up to Jesus and said, so I hear that you're training people to do to this. I'd like to be a part of that. I mean, we need folks that are willing to take a chance. Let me say it this way. We need the few. We need the few. You know, the Marines, they recruit by saying, we're looking for not a lot. They don't need the masses. They need the few. And you know what? It says in this portion of Scripture, hey, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are what? And you know what? Thank God. I'm going to mention this as we go down through this, but thank God for the few. And every once in a while, I need to get up, and whether you're part of the few or not, every once in a while, a preacher needs to come to the pulpit and say, if you're part of the few, thank God for the few. Thank God that you're willing. Thank God that you'll jump in when other people are too timid. Thank you that when you see a situation needs help, you're willing to do something about it. Thank God that you've done what the Lord said here, and you've lifted your eyes to the harvest, and you realize that there is a very few handful of people that are willing to try to get a gospel to the 30,000 people that are in our circle. But somebody's got to go, and somebody's got to do it, and somebody's got to be that first wave, and somebody's got to be willing to pay the price. And you mentioned the young people. Thank you, Brother Young, for mentioning the young people. And you know what? They're a part of that few. You know what? We raise them to be part of the few. Now, some of them stick with it and some of them don't. But if they're in our program, they're going to be baptized to be part of the few. They're going to know what it is to be part of the few. And I want to challenge each and every one of you to consider that. Because when it comes to winning the world to the Lord Jesus Christ, we need the few. We need the few. I'm just going to say a few words to the few tonight. I'm going to go past the initial message that Brother Silvera preached out of Matthew chapter 9, and I'm going to go on down the chapter and just say a few things to you. Number one, those of you that are the few willing to go, I want you to be reminded of this. Look at verse 3. As you go, I believe if Jesus were to take the few and have a meeting with them tonight, I think one of the first things he'd say is this: as you go, I promise you won't go alone. Say, preacher, where do you get that out of verse number 3? Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Now, wait a minute. You say, preacher, that doesn't sound like a good proposition. Can you imagine if I went to a shepherd and I said, listen, I need to borrow some of your sheep. Well, why? Because I need some missionaries to go out and win the wolves. So I'm going to send your lambs, not your sheep. Matter of fact, make it lambs, okay? I want you to give me the lambs. Amen. Thank you for young people that are willing to go out amongst the wolves. Amen. And I'm going to send, I need your lambs because there's a job I want to do. And, well, where are you sending them? Well, I'm going to send them out in the wilderness and I'm going to send them out amongst the wolves. That would seem like, watch this, that would seem like a suicide mission. But you know why Jesus used that analogy? You say, preacher, you know what? We're sheep, we're lambs according to the Bible. Well, I want to remind you tonight that you have a good shepherd. Amen. And you know what Jesus is willing to say? I'm going to send you forth as lambs and wolves, but I'm not going to let you go alone. Aren't you glad that in Matthew chapter 28 in the Great Commission, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Watch this. And by the way, good luck. I'll be watching from heaven. Report back when you get to heaven. Tell me how it went. No, he said, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That's okay to be a lamb amongst the wolves as long as you hang close to the shepherd. Amen. Jesus said in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That makes me feel pretty good. Because you know what? He's not sending me out there alone. He says, I'll go with you. By the way, I know you're a sheep. I know you're a lamb. And I know that the task is like sending lambs amongst wolves. But you know what? Don't forget you got a good shepherd. Wasn't it David that penned, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And you know what, folks? Listen to me. It's okay. You say, Brother Silvera's down in this area. He's not there by himself. Brother Fitzsimmons, we read the letter, preacher, all of these horrific things that are going on, and we've got our missionaries in the middle of all of these things, and Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And so Jesus would first tell the few this, as you go, I promise you won't go alone. Look at verse number 4. He would also say this to you, the few, if you're part of the few, this message is for you. Number 2, as you go, know this, I will take care of you. I will take care of you. You know what he said in verse 4? Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes. Salute no man by the way. You know what he was saying? He was saying, I don't want you to worry about stockpiling. You don't have to go get a backpack. You're not a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon. You don't need a backpack. He said, you know what? I'm sending you out because, you know what? I want you to understand this is a walk of faith. This is a work of faith. And you're going to have to learn to trust the Lord. It's getting harder and harder to find young people that'll surrender all the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. That'll actually, burn like Elisha did, burn the plow, slaughter the ox, and follow a man of God and say, you know what? This is all I do. This is my life from this time forward. And so he says this, as you go, know this, I'll take care of you. Isn't that what Jesus said again in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And folks, listen to me. You know what? Our frontline troops, I'm talking about in our United States military, our frontline troops that are the ones that go in first and penetrate first. You know what? They don't have U-Hauls pulled behind their tanks. Matter of fact, they don't even have tanks. You know what that frontline wave has? A little bit that they can carry on their, whatever they can carry on their back and whatever the clothes they wear. But you know what? That's part of being the first wave. That's part of being the few. And so I think Jesus would say to the few, you know, as you go, know this. You're not going to go alone. As you go, know this. I'm going to take care of you. Look at again at verse number 4. This is kind of an interesting statement there at the end. He says this, and salute no man by the way. Now that seems weird. You're going out to be to impact the world. You're going out there to spread the gospel. And he says, salute no man by the way. I think Jesus would remind all of us that are part of the few of this tonight. As you go, stay focused on the task. Stay focused on the task. My brother Bob gave me a great illustration because I didn't have one this morning for this. We were talking at the back before church Sunday school this morning, and he was talking to me about the job he has where he works. And one of the things that he does, part of his daily responsibilities, is he goes to all the scaffolding every single day that's built, and there are tags on that, and there's an inspection that has to be done, and he has to sign off on all of those things to make sure everything's properly tagged, and I'm probably not getting his job done right. But it's a huge responsibility for the company financially. If those things are not checked and those records are not kept, that company can incur great fines if the safety team comes in and not everything's up to snuff. But not only that, more importantly, the workers are at risk if he's not doing his job. Right. And he told me, he said, Jerry, I take that job so seriously. And he said, I'm so focused on going from scaffolding. I've got a definite route that I've got to go every day, and every tag I got to look at, and every area I've got to inspect. And you know, the lives are men of his fellow workers are in his hands. And he said, I've learned to take it seriously. And he said, you know what? Later on, people will say, well, Bob, what's going on? I seen you out checking tags today, and I hollered at you two or three times, and you didn't even look. And he said, I always have to apologize, but when I get into that, it's like I got blinders on because I have to stick to the task. I can't stop and have a conversation here and go over here and have a cup of coffee and get into a storytelling contest with this guy. You know why? Because this has to be done in a certain amount of time. Are you listening to me? This, what we're doing, has to be done in a certain amount of time. And folks, don't think I don't like fellowship. Man, we've put it into the program here. And I'm going to enjoy myself here in a little while. But folks, you know what? A fellowship every month or so, and besides that, let's just get busy for God. Let me tell you what the new church, the newfangled church does. They're real good at fellowshipping. Matter of fact, everything's a party. You know what? They have all the get-togethers and trips, and I promise you, they don't have their teens out every Wednesday out knocking on doors. And you know what? If all you want to do is play, I can give you the names of several churches in the area. Well, you'll go have a good time. But you know what? This isn't a game to me. This is serious to me. And you know what? I stay focused on it. Now, sometimes people want to kick up some dust over here, but I'm sorry, I'm focused on what I'm doing. You want to create drama over here because you need attention. Well, you know what? Bless your little heart, but I've got a job to do. I want you to listen to me. I think Christians need to start growing up a little bit. Okay, every little owie you have doesn't need to, the whole world need to stop and come over and look at it and pat you on the head. Guess what? We all got owies. There's a world to reach. We all have problems. There's a world that's going to hell. Okay? And so let's do that. How about that track attack, man? I like that this morning. Let's do some track attack. Let's get the gospel out, okay? And let's have laser focus when we do it. As you go, stay focused on the text. I think if Jesus gathered a few, he'd say this. As you go, I will provide those with a heart to help you. Wasn't that encouraging? He says in verse 5 through 8, he said, you know, whatsoever house you enter, say peace be to the house. If the Son of Peace be there, the peace shall rest upon it. If not, turn you, it shall, and if not, it shall turn to you again. And in that same house remain, eating and drinking. You know what he's saying? He said, I'm going to send you out to all these cities, but I've already got people prepared in these cities that have a heart to help you with these things. And so, you know what? I found out this, folks, in my time serving the Lord. If you'll just step out by faith, if you're willing to be part of the 70, part of the few, and you're willing to be that, have that pioneer spirit, just go out there and do the work, you know what? God will touch men's and women's heart to want to be a part of it and want to be the ones that help you with that. And, you know, I mean, this is a big undertaking, folks. I've had preachers, I've had missionaries, I've had veteran pastors come to this church and go back there and look at that map and say, I've never seen anybody do anything like this. Not exactly like this. I mean, people have divided things, whatever. But he said, for you to, and I said, what possessed you? I don't know. Except, you know what? The hat was in the water and someone needed to get it. And so in this area is going to hell. And we're not getting the gospel to every door. And at some point, somebody got to do something about it. And you know what? As I stepped out by faith, and by the way, I've never asked anybody in here to be a part of it. And I haven't done more than anybody that's a part of that ministry. Because, you know, I believe in providing leadership. Amen. But you know what I noticed? I said this when I stepped out. I said, Lord, I could be doing this by myself. And he said, well, if you need to, then do it. Hey, did you hear me? If you need to, then do it. Do what you can. But you know what I've always found out? I mean, Dad started a bus ministry back in 1973, folks, when he started the church. And you know what? Isn't it interesting when he was willing to step out by faith, say, who was the first bus driver? Bob Ross. Who was the first bus captain? Bob Ross. You know what he said? God, we've got to reach children. And I stand out there this morning, and I watch bus after bus pull up and all these kids. And you know what God did? Because he was willing to step out, he touched the hearts of other people that were willing to start out. Who preached the first nursing home and opened trailblazed the first nursing home ministry of Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Bob Ross. But isn't it interesting? Now we have seven, now eight different families or individuals, and our youth are even involved in it. And you know what? Isn't it interesting? If you're willing to go, God is, he's not going to get everybody. That's why it's the few. Okay, there's always going to be those that honestly maybe can't go. And that's fine. There's those that just won't go. That's not fine. But you know what? After a while, you can sit there and get all tied up in who's going, who's not. Or you can just say, hey, let me get some gospel tracts. Let's go knock some doors. Amen. And just go out by faith, okay? And so Jesus, I believe, would say, I will prepare a people to help you if you'll go. Not all of them will be able to do all the same things. Maybe some will provide prayer support. But you know what? If you'll go, I'll provide the people with you. Look at verse number 9. I believe Jesus, if he was given a talk to the few here, he would say this, as you go, help everyone you can, then tell them about me. Now, did you get that, folks? Help everyone you can, then tell them about me. What's he saying in verse 9? Heal the sick that are therein, saying to them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. Folks, if we're not careful, we're heavy in evangelism. We preach a lot of evangelistic messages and encouraging people to be involved in outreach. But remember, part of being a Christian is good works. And you know what? What a lot of times opens somebody's heart for you, them to hear the gospel, is for you to show them Christian love and Christian concern and see a need. You know what? I think if Jesus healed the sick, or these disciples healed the sick, I think after he healed them, they were probably all ears. They were willing to listen to anything he had to say after that. Hey, let's be a people of good works. But let's also follow up that good works with the boldness to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with them. And so I think Jesus would say, as you go, help everyone you can and tell them about me. Number 6, as you go, don't waste your time on scorners. Now, folks, this is not always hard for Jerry Ross to do. But you know what he said? He gave them specific instruction, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. But in whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same and say, boy, I don't think this has ever been taught in a soul winning course, ever, ever. Even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you, notwithstanding. Be sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. In other words, you had a chance to hear it. Don't you stand before God and say, he never sent you somebody, because he did. And then you know what they do? They take their sandals off and beat them together. They didn't want to carry the dust of that city off with them. And they stood, you know, folks, I said this to somebody recently, but you know what? We do soul winning here, but the truth is we do more soul warning than we do soul winning. And you know what, your preacher, man, we do all of this, and it just seems like there's not a whole lot of results. There are results, because we're obeying God's program. And some of the results of evangelism is being able to stand up as a witness against them. And you know what? Not everybody's going to receive it. But you know what? No matter what their attitude is, no matter what they say to you, no matter how bad they treat you, you know what? At some point, when you understand that their heart is not open to the gospel, move on. Move on. Because if we're not careful, folks, listen, we're spending so much time chasing people that don't want to be caught that we're not reaching the people that are out there waiting for someone to knock on their door. And so I've had to learn this. Listen, If all you're interested in is division, and all you're interested in is rumors, and all you're interested in is negativity, and all you're interested in is, you know, go do that somewhere. Right. Believe me alone. Right. I mean it. I'm sorry, but I don't have time for it. Right. You know, preacher, I don't feel like you listen sometimes. Listen to what? Your negativity? Sure. Listen to what? Excuses? Yeah. Listen to what? Carnality? How much of my time do you want right. me listen to foolishness that's keeping me from trying to win somebody to Christ? I got an idea. Why don't you get on board? I got an idea. Why don't you get a change of heart? I got an idea. Why don't you become part of the few? You'd be surprised what that would do to change your attitude. As you go, don't waste your time on scorners. All right? Is that helping some of you? All right? So you know what he said? Go try to share the gospel with them. Go try to help them. If all they want to do is wallow in negativity and be a critic, then you know what? Say, God bless you. I'll pray for you. I think I'll go find somebody that needs Jesus. Amen. Then number seven, as you go, I love this. Jesus, I think he would say this. Remember, you are my ambassadors. He that heareth you, look at verse 16. I think every one of the few, if you're part of the few, you ought to underline this. If you're part of the few, you probably ought to draw an arrow to this, because this will help you on the hard days. This will help you on Saturday visitation like the Saturday we had yesterday, man. Watch this. He that heareth you, heareth me. He that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. And what he's saying is this. Listen to me. It's not about you anyway. You just go out there. You're an ambassador for Jesus Christ. If they accept the message, then good. If they despise the message, don't take it personally, because they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me, and they're rejecting the one that sent me. And that's what we do. Now, I hope that this little pep talk has helped the few. Because you know what? It's not easy being the few. Sometimes it's discouraging being the few. But no matter wherever you go, or whatever your health is, or whether or not you can do the door-to-door stuff or not, there's opportunity every day for you to be a part of the few. And this is where we're going to do something a little different. And Brother Dively, if you want to make your way up here, I've asked him to share a testimony and a story as part of the message tonight. And we sent them, or they decided to go on a vacation. And he says this is the last big trip that they're going to take together because of their health, his health. And so they became very unfaithful to church for about a month. And can you imagine these two? Have you seen them walk from their car to the church house, into the church? And they decide to get in a car and drive all the way halfway across the country. They came to me before they left, and they said, "Preacher, every time we've ever taken a trip since we've been coming to Blessed Hope, is there any way we get a box of the Grace will lead me home? Because God always seems to give us opportunities, and we're praying that God would open a door." Now listen, I want to help some of you. I don't care whether or not you can do what I can do or not, but you can do what he did. Everybody here living and breathing can do what he did. And I want you to listen to this story and watch how God opened a door. And if you're willing to step out by faith and just say, "Lord, let me have that opportunity." Now, listen, the message is done. The only thing that's standing between you and soup and sandwiches is no longer Jerry Ross. Because I know this guy's a talker. And you can't start back, "Well, you know, I was born back in." No. You can't have your whole life story. The story. Come on, I want you to let the people know and talk right there into the mic. Make sure they can hear you. So, I'll be over here sipping from the fountain of youth while you're...
If I keep getting louder the longer I talk, my wife tells me the longer I talk, the louder I get. But we were in St. Augustine, Florida. And, well, we had the books and we passed out a few here and there. And we pulled into this parking lot. I was making a U-turn, because I didn't want to go way down the street. And she says, "There's an army guy, get in the car." So we give him a book. So I pulls up in front of the car. He couldn't get out and he couldn't back up because there was a big embankment there that went down to the street. So I give him the book and I told him a little bit about the book and about Ron Allen. And I thanked him for his service. He was a colonel. And we left and we went up about two blocks, and we were going to go in and get some tickets to go on a boat cruise. You know, just go out in the water for a few hours. That's our cruise. But so I pulled up in a no parking area, imagine that. She gets out and she goes over to see about getting tickets. And she come back and I says, "Well, I'm jumping ahead of myself. This colonel, he pulls up alongside of the car again. He winds down his window, and I look, and I wound down the window, and he says, 'You have any more of those books?' I said, 'Yeah.' I said, 'I probably got about 70 or 80 of them.' He says, 'You know, they're having a ceremony down here at the parade field at 3 o'clock today.' I said, 'Oh, yeah?' He says, 'Could you be there?' I said, 'I'll be there.' And when she come back to the car, I told her, I says, 'We're not going to go on that boat thing.' She says, 'Why?' And then I told her what happened. She says, Well, God's work's more important. But that place was closed, and we couldn't get tickets anyway. So, sad a good Lord took care of that. So, 3 o'clock, I was there, and I pulled in this same parking lot, and there was a policeman in there directing traffic, and there's one parking place in there. He says, you can either park here, or you can go back around by the cemetery and back of the building, and he says, there's a parking area back there. And I says, I don't know why I did that, because I guess I didn't want to walk there across the street and over to the building where they were having this ceremony. So we drove around to the back, and we got around to the back. Man, it was a long ways to the front of that building. And we sat there a little bit, and we finally get out, and we was going to walk way back out to the front again. And there was some guy out there trimming with weed eater and stuff. He wanted to know if we was part of the ceremony. I said, well, no. I said, not really. I said, his colonel asked us to come here. I said, we have some books that he wanted us to pass out. So there was a big truck parked there, and we didn't see this gate. He says, oh, come here. He says, I'll let you in the gate. Good. We just walk right across. So we get into this big area. I call it a patio, but it was big. I mean, so we walks in there and look around. She says, well, now what do we do? I said, I don't know. I said, there's a door there. I said, let's open that door. So we walk in that door. We get in there, and here these people was in there. They had tables lined up from here back to the foyer with food on it and people fixing stuff and carrying out. She says, well, she said, now, what do we do now? I said, well, we're going to sit down. I said, we found the food. So they had about 100 chairs set up back in there in the back. So we sit down for a little while and rested because I can't walk that far and she can't either with her hip the way it was. So we sat there a little while and I says, ah, come on. There was a door, it was open, went out in another room. So I said, come on. I said, we'll walk out there and see what's going on. There was nobody out there. And here comes, I don't know if he was a PFC or a lieutenant or what he was, but he come walking through. And he wanted to know what he was doing, and I told him. He says, oh, come here. He says, you can go right out here at the door. We give him a book. He says, you can go right out the front door here, and you can walk down the street a little ways, and you can sit down, and you can listen to the ceremony and all that. So they get out there. This master sergeant, he was retiring after 30 years, is what the ceremony was about. But they had a couple generals there, I don't know. And they did the parade field thing, and they lowered the flag, all that. So, man, I get up and I stood at parade rest and attention, saluted the flag and all that stuff. And I thought, man, I ought to go see if I can re-enlist for another 3 years. but anyway, after that was over, we walked back up to the door we come out of to get out there to listen to the ceremony. And she says, what do we do? Just stand here at the door and pass out the books? Oh, no. I says, we're going inside where the food is. So we went in there, and we was passing out books. Then we sit down and listen, because they were all kind of different people that he worked with over the years and stuff, was getting up and telling about the things that he did and all the honors that he got and everything, you know. So we sat there and listened to that. So then everybody lined up to go up and, you know, shake their hands and, you know, tell them to, you know, have a good time and all this. But he had two children. Both of them was in the service, but they couldn't be there. And the funny thing was that they were supposed to have this ceremony a month before. And it just so happened we were supposed to go on vacation before she fell and broke her hip, or we wouldn't have been there, but we got there just when this stuff was going on. So anyway, we waited till everybody got through the line. got down and we only had about five books left. I told her, I says, save three of them. I says, I want to give him a book and then one for each one of his children so he could send it to them. And then we talked to his uncle. I didn't know his uncle. He's some old guy about 80, you know. So I talked to him a little bit, and he was telling me about his nephew and how that all the things that they were saying about him and everything, that's the way he was. And so we waited, and we got down, and we went up, and we talked to him and thanked him for his service and everything he did. And we gave him the books, and he says, well, come on. He says, go ahead. He says, come ahead and eat with us. I says, no. I says, we're not going to eat. I said, we got to go. We could have ate. It was probably better than what we got. But she wanted to go back to this place where we got shrimp the night before. And she wanted to go have shrimp, so we didn't eat there. But anyway, it seemed funny. Just, I told her, I said, man. I said, just the way the doors is opening. Listen to the pastor when he's preaching about the doors opening. This policeman, you know, he went around to the back, that guy opened the door, another guy opened the door, another door opened, you know, and we passed out all of her books. And some people come up and ask us that we didn't talk to. Some lady come up and asked me why. She said, well, I didn't get one of them books. She said, can I have one? So we give her one. There's a few civilian people in there that got books, and everybody thanked us for the books, and they said he was going to read them. Well, not everybody said he was going to read them, but a lot of them said he was going to read them. But I thought it was kind of funny, though, that we give that one book to that colonel, and then we left, and we went up the street probably a block and a half, and he pulls up there. That's the way it all started.
Hey.
So the good Lord works in mysterious ways. Caused her to break her hip so we couldn't go. And then we got there when the ceremony was going on. And everything worked out good.
Did you see that? Did you see him get off the platform? Listen, if you're breathing, listen to me. You can be part of the few. Reverend Mrs. Dively, to come up and say, I'll take section 19. But you can still be part of the few. But you know what it takes? Listen, I'm done. I'll get that hat. I'll get that hat. I said, why did you do that? He said it meant a lot to him. That's all he heard him say. I'll get that hat. Well, I said, why'd you do that? He said it meant a lot to him. Let me tell you something. Souls mean a lot to him. Means a lot. Hey, become part of the few. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you would help us. Lord, Brother Silvera, thank you for using him this morning. Many of our workforce wasn't there as they listen. I hope they do as they listen. Go to our website and listen to his message. Maybe you can help tie these things together. It's not a matter of everybody going to Brazil, South America, although maybe God would have somebody here go to Brazil, South America. It's not a matter of everybody being in the bus ministry. It's not a matter of everybody being in Operation Occupation. But Lord, we can be a part of the few. And so I pray, Lord, that you'll stir our hearts over this matter. Well, we just don't know. It all started with just an act of faith. Just coming up to a pastor and saying, we're going on vacation. Can we take a box of books? Help us to realize, Lord, that when it comes to your work, there's no such thing as a vacation. We can do it while we're on vacation. We can do it tomorrow as we go about our everyday life. Help us, Lord, help us. Lord, to have increased the few tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name.